There, finally. Okay, Third Connect Group is going to be going and doing basically the update. And we talked about the insert last time. And if I go to this one, there is the delete. Okay, so this one allows me to delete. I'm going to go get the lights. So I need to be able to insert, I need to be able to delete, and I need to be able to change. Okay, so delete deletes the record. And this one just goes in and does the delete verb. Okay, so I say delete from donor where ID equals, and I put in something that is going to tell me which record I want to delete. Okay, so I'm deleting a record. And on the smart notebook, I'm really not having a good day today, and it's Tuesday. I'm supposed to be able to have a good day on Tuesday. And I better click those or I won't be able to use the pins the first time that I pick them up. Okay, so delete will delete a record. Then you have update. And update is, I got to find out which one it is. Three, I think. Yeah, an update lets you update a record. Okay, so I can update a record. I said I wanted to update the record and set the street address where the ID is equal to get ID number. So I'm telling it I want to update that particular record. Now the problem lies is if I have an update, how do I want to do it? Okay, so if I have a record that has an ID number, name, major, number of credits, or number of courses, whatever I want to call that, GPA, and I have a bunch of different things. Okay, maybe I have city that the person's from or whatever. So I have a bunch of different fields. Now I want to submit a change. I've got to change something. But chances are I don't want to change everything. And so I've got to figure out a way to handle it. Because a change or an update can mean that I want to I don't want to use the word insert. This is an update. I want to add info in a field that is blank. It can mean I want to change the info in a field. Or it can mean that I want to delete the info in a field. So a change is looking at a field and saying, okay, I can either take a field that was blank. I didn't know what major the person wanted. They hadn't declared a major. So there was no entry in major. So I want to update this record by adding information into the major field. Okay, so I want to add information into the major field. It was blank, I want to add it. I could want to change the info in the major field. So the person was a VU major and now they're a CI major, so I'm changing it. Or the person could have just said, I don't want a major anymore. I want to just take some courses from semester and figure out what I want to do. Then I want to go in and delete the major and turn the field to blank. Okay? So I have all of these fields, and this can be true of all of the fields. So every field could be blank that I want to add to, have data that I want to change, or have data that I want to delete. The only one that you can't do that to is the primary key. Okay? Just because the primary key is organizing the data. So you can't go in and simply make a change. Most systems will not let you alter the primary key. If you want to alter the primary key, then you delete the person, you put them back in under a new primary key. Okay? But most systems are not going to let you just alter the primary key. So, you have to go in, and on every field, you've got to ask, do I want to add, do I want to change, do I want to delete? So, the transaction that you want to do is, I want to do an update, and I want to do it on a particular field, and this is what I want to do. Now, an add and a change can really be pretty much the same, because in fact, you don't much care whether you're putting new data into an empty field or replacing data that was there. Okay, so an add and a change can adjust your putting info into a field. Okay, and you don't really care whether it's blank or not. And then the delete is you want to go in and delete the field. Well, you've got to come up with some code that tells what to delete, how you want to do with the field. And it depends on how you are setting this up. But let's say that you set up a form that you want to fill out. Okay. So let's say that you have a form. Okay, and why do I have that down at the bottom? So I have a form, and the form, I put on it the ID number, and then I have a place for the name, a place for the major, a place for the number of credits, a place for the GPA, and a place for the city. So I've got all those places on the form. Okay, so how am I going to fill this in? Maybe I want to change the major so I can put a CI here. I want to change the number of courses so I can put a 5 or a 15 maybe there. And I want to get rid of the city because I've been told that the city's wrong, but I don't have a new city to put in there. But I want to delete the city. So I've got to have some way of telling it that I want to delete the city. So when I read this form, anything that has data in it, I can go ahead and make the changes. But there's no data in name, so that would tell me that I don't want to change the name. There is data in the major, so that would tell me that I want to replace or put the CI code into the major. Okay, whether it has nothing and I'm adding a major, or whether it's got a different major, I want to put that in there. I want to take number of credits and either add it or change it and put it in there. But I want to delete city. And right now, it looks like there's no activity involved in city. Just like there was no activity involved in name, no activity involved in GPA, there's no activity involved in city. So you have to figure out some way to tell it you want to do a delete. And one of the ways might be to put a D in there. And so if I put a D in there, as long as it's a field that can't be a D in city, it would make no sense on any of these to have it a D. I can put a hyphen in there. Lots of times people use a hyphen to tell that they want to delete the field. And they put the hyphen in either in the first character or the last character. So also, if there is a hyphen in the first character, that tells me I want to delete. So I can have a hyphen or a D or pick a number that's 999 or something, but just something that means I want to delete and put a code in there, in the field that says this isn't an inactive field, this is a field I want to delete. So I want to delete the field. So the change, the simple way to do a change is to just put all the information in that you want to be there when you're done and just say change everything. And if what's there is already there, then that's fine. I've just changed CI to CI and I've just changed name to name and whatever. But that's lazy. What you really want to do is make a determination as to what field needs to be checked and then go in and make the changes. So an update is probably everybody's least favorite program to write because it's just plain tedious. You have to check every field if you're taking in a form and check it. If you're doing the input some other way, then you can ask people if they want to do an update that they have to tell what field they want to change and what they want to change it to, and then do the update. That would work. So you would ask, you know, what field, to what field to change, and how do you want to change it, and new entry or whatever information you need to get from them, and then take that and do the delete. So if they say they want to delete that field, that they want to delete the content of city, then you're going to write an update that says set city equal to blanks, okay, for that particular ID. And you obviously need to know the ID. So I should have put up here which record. But that, if they want to change three or four things, that's going to start annoying the user. Okay, imagine that you're doing that. It works fine. But imagine that you want to change three fields on there. You're going to have to go through and answer the questions three different times. Most users would prefer to fill out a form. Okay, and just have the form come up. Send the information from the form over. And then check on it in the program. So updating, inserting a record is I just put it in. Deleting a record is I just take the record out. Updating a record involves you've got to check all of the fields and make sure that you make the right alterations to all of the fields. And so it's a pain in the neck. It's not that it's hard. It's just annoying. I mean, you're just doing the same thing over and over again. Do you want to make a change? Do you want to da-da? You know, so you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. Okay, so that's what you do when you are doing an update. And I think I just put that in a second time. That's all right. I can clean that out when I get back. Okay. So all I did here was do a update the donor, set the name equal to where the ID equals to. So I went in and I made a change. Okay? I didn't do any of the checking. So I just went in and made a change. And let's see, that's another one. And so this one I said go in and make a change. Okay, And I've got in here also a check where I say, if my SQL affected rows equals zero, then no record was updated. So that tells me that a record was updated or not updated. Okay? Else the record was updated. So I'm going in and I'm asking the question, was the MySQLi affected rows, okay, equal to zero? And if affected rows was equal to zero, then it tells me that it didn't do a change. Okay. What I'm going to ask you to do this week is actually write an update. So I'd like you to go through and look at how the add and the change and try to kind of figure out how you would handle it. And we'll take another look at it a little bit more on Thursday. But I'd like you to actually kind of think about how you want to handle the update. Okay, you've got to take information in from the user, and then you've got to do an update. So you're probably going to be using, you're going to be using an HTML page to get the information from the user and then go on. Then the other problem that you have is usually this is one program, okay? So usually there is the first thing that the user has to answer a question as to whether they want to add a record, change a record, or delete a record. And then if they want to change a record, they've got to put in all of the information that involves getting the change. So sometimes people basically have the HTML form have a three different thing areas that come up. If you want to add a record, fill in this area. If you want to change a record, fill in this area. If you want to delete a record, fill in this area. Or they might end up having a code that you check and then just one area, but depending on whether you check the code to add, change, or delete, it knows what to do with that area. Okay, so for an add, you got to fill in all the fields in this one area. So if you check the button that says you want to do an add, or if you write the word that says you want to do an add on an input field, then you have to fill in all the fields that you want to be part of the add. If you want to do a delete, you just have to fill in the ID number. Now, sometimes people will not delete a record based on just an ID number because that can be dangerous. So they will try to, you will have to put in both an ID and a name, for example. And they will find the record with the ID, and then they will confirm that this is a, what you want to do is a delete by checking the person's name and making sure the name on the record is equal to the name you enter in so that you don't mistakenly reverse two digits and end up deleting the wrong record. Okay, if you have the confirmation of this is their ID and this is their name before you can delete, then you're pretty secure when you've deleted the record that you've got the right record. Okay? So lots of times, if you have one form, you have to fill in both the ID and the name for the delete so that they have something to confirm. And then with the change, you have to fill in the areas on the form that you want to change. Okay? Leave the areas on the form that you don't want to change blank. But then you have to have some kind of code that you put in a field that indicates that that field is something you want to delete. Okay. So the actual add, the actual command to do the insert, update, and delete are the easy parts of it. The difficult part is getting the data and figuring out which thing you're going to do, and then figuring out how to do it, as in the change, what fields need to be impacted. Okay. So as I said, I'd like you to think about that a little bit, do a little bit of reading, and then we'll go over some specifics on that on Thursday. But I kind of want you to think it through before we spend too much time looking at it. Okay? So there's some examples in here you can look at, but also do a little bit of thinking about how you would set up the form, how you would go in and do the update. And we'll spend a little more time talking about it on Thursday. Okay. Questions? Anything that you that came up as a question while we were doing this? If you have time, it would be good to try to set up the form and kind of see how you would go in and that sort of thing. And then, as I said, we'll go over it on Thursday. Okay, the next thing I want to look at is we are going to start arrays. And so I'm going to look at array group first. So we're starting to look at arrays. And arrays in PHP, today is going to be an easy array day, which is probably most of you are familiar with if you've taken another language. But arrays can get fairly complicated in PHP. They've done some kind of interesting things. And depending on whether we get to it on Thursday or next Tuesday, we'll start looking at more complicated looks of arrays. So this is the first one. And what I want to look at first is MWGB series. And that is just your basic simple array. Okay, so I need to have a website. Wow, I'm impressed. I got that in one try. Okay. So this is the code that I have if you bring this one up. And let me change the... so it's a little bit bigger. Okay, so I've set up my very basic array. And I've said I've got an array that is called department name. And remember, how many of you have never seen an array before? Okay, most of you have. Okay, so again, I've basically got four things in this case. And each of them is called department name. And you know enough about programming to know that you can't have four things referred to by the same name or it says huh when you go to move one of them. Okay, so if you're going to have four things with the same name, you have to have a index, subscript, pointer, or whatever you want to call it, after it. So this would be the zeroth one, the first, the second, and the third. And we've talked a little bit about arrays in PHP, and I told you that the whole idea of that zero, when you display something, display row 0, display row 1, display row 2, what it does is it takes row that you define and makes the first field in the record row 0. And the second field in the record row 1, and the third field in the record row 2, and it does that by setting up an array. Now, it sets it up behind the scenes. But that's how it can go in and show you row three, when the three is in the brackets after it. It goes in and it has an array behind the scenes, and it goes down and picks your fourth field, and that would be row three. Because again, it starts with zero. So a lot of working with arrays happens behind the scenes. But this one is a very straightforward array. Okay, now in a lot of languages, you have to define the array. Here I didn't define the array, I just set it up. Okay, so I don't have to, a lot of them you have to define the array and put the last element as a number after it to tell it that there are going to be up to four or up to three or up to whatever. In this I didn't. I've just got, as soon as I entered PHP, I said department name modified by zero will be women's, modified by one will be men's, girls, and boys. Okay? And then I said, okay, now I'm just going to print them all out. And so I said for count running from zero to three, I am count being incremented by one every time, and you can obviously put count equals count plus one there, but the C language, which is kind of the parent of PHP, allows this count plus plus, and so that means increment by one. Okay? So I'm saying for the loop, I want to do an echo, and I want to write out the literal department number with a colon, then I want to write count, then I want to write equals, and then I want to write the department name that count is pointing to. And I'm starting at zero, so it gets the zero, women's, men's, girls, boys. Okay, so that's how it goes through a very basic array. Questions? Because if that doesn't make sense, nothing else will make sense. So if you have a question, ask them. Okay. So that's just a very basic array, and just to prove how it's set up, I went in and did a for loop to print out all of the contents of the array. And that's all I'm doing here, is just printing the contents of the array. Okay. Okay. There's a bunch of these, so I think we'll just go in order because there's not a terrible lot of order to them. So this is an alternate way of setting things up. And this one is called ARFUNC for each. Okay. So this is this one. So this is an alternate way to set up the array, and most languages allow this. This is, I'm saying, department name is going to be the contents of an array that's going to contain women's, men's, girls, boys. So that gets me exactly the same access and exactly the same way of doing things that the one I just did was, which wrote out the zero in square brackets after it. This will get me the same thing. Okay? This is going to be zero, this is going to be one, this is going to be two, this is going to be three. So it goes up and sets it up the same way. Okay? So now what I do in this one is I've got a for each statement. And the for each statement says, okay, look at the array department name. And this is the array as the name. The name is the individual element in the array. So it is saying I'm going to start at the top of the array, and I am going to go through each one. And as I go through, the one that I'm currently looking at is going to be called the name. Okay, so that's the current one. This is the current, and this is the array. Okay, so department name is the array, and as the name basically says, this is the current one. So for each record, what I'm basically saying is for each setup or record or whatever entry in the array, so each entry is going to take its turn being called dollar sign the name. So when I start out, and you can see because I'm doing an echo here, echo out department, and then equals, and then the name. Okay? So for each, it starts out at the name is women's, the next time through it's men's, next time through it's girls, next time through it's boys. That's the current one. And dollar sign the name is referring to the current one. And then just to show you that you can still use the pointers, I put out an echo. The first entry in the array has an index of 0, and I put out echo department name 0. And so I can still use it the same way that I set up the other one. But I have the ability now, if for some reason I want to print out the array, I've got the for each statement that allows me to do it. So you think of it as you've got four rows in the array. The name is talking about the current row. Okay, it's talking about the current thing, the top element, then the next element, then the next, then the next. And maybe you don't want to think of it as row, maybe it's elements in the array. Whatever you want to think of it as, there are four elements in the array, and we're starting out with the first one, which is the zeroth one, and the name would be whichever one we're currently doing. Does that make sense? Okay. Ooh, I did do that, didn't I? I really, really, really like having a menu up there. Anyway, does anybody know what's the code to get history? You know, Control O is how you can load something. What's the code to get history? Because I was going to go to history, and then I figured, well, if I just type in CIS Web, I'm fine. But does anybody know the code that goes to history?
I know for Chrome, it's Control H.
Control H.
Firefox is Control H too.
Pardon?
For okay. Firefox is a Control H too.
All right, so
that
it's Control.
My educated guess.
Yeah, no, that would have been probably my guess too, but not always. So there's Control O. History. Today, and so therefore I can go through it. Okay. It was easier to just type the CIS Web and bring it up, but I'm curious, how many of you would prefer to have menus? Am I the only one that really misses the menus at the top that I can just click on?
No, menus are kind of nice.
Huh?
They are nice. It's nice to have options.
Yeah, I mean, mainly because I then don't have to remember all these hit this, hit that.
If you don't have menu thing, then you will have to go on the Google it, how to search this. But in the menu, it tells you press Control F and Control H. It's easy.
It makes my life easy.
Yeah.
But nobody else seems to be as complaining about this as I am. I really miss menus. And then if it was there's a lot of consistency among the browsers, but not entirely. So, or at least that's what somebody told me. I honestly haven't played around with them. That's what I was told. Okay, so now I want to go on to the next one. Maybe you just don't complain as much as I do. Okay, so this one is function for each list. Really need to learn to wake up better names. Function for each list. Okay. MWGB. Oh, I did keep the AR. Okay. And this is just basically the same thing. I sent up a UL, and this time for no good reason I used a print instead of an echo. And I set up a table. And so a list rather. Okay, so outside I have the UL, and then I did the for each, and then I have the UL after the for each. So that gives me an unordered list. And the other thing I did here is I decided that I was not going to have department zero. So I put invalid in as department zero, and then went in and listed it. Okay, because with a for each, you're going from the beginning, and so you're going to zero. But if I want to call my departments 1, 2, 3, and 4, as opposed to 0, 1, 2, and 3, then I've got to handle the zero, and I put invalid in as a zero. Okay, but if I'm using this particular setup, then I need to account for the zero, because it's going to start with the zero when I set up the array like that. Okay, and I decided that reality was I didn't want women's, men's, girls, boys. Okay. Okay. Okay, this one we've got to go out and get an HTML, because notice I am getting the department number. Okay, so I'm getting the department number, and I'm going to use it in the array. So I've got to be, in order to use this, I've got to have some HTML, because we haven't talked yet about putting it all in one, but we will. So I need to have the HTML. Okay, so I've got to go now and look for... Come on, you can do it. I've got to go and look for the one that has HTML. So if I come over here, I've got two that have HTML. This one says array function, so I'm guessing that one's it. So I'm going to edit that, and it calls array function, and this is array function. So those are the two that I have. So I have this one is taking in a department number and is going to submit it, because I'm using a button submit, and it's going to then have the action of bringing up that page. Okay. So if I go in and I say I want to use array function, .html. Try putting in an L. Okay. MWGB array, ARRAY function. Oh, send array function. Sorry about that. Ta-da. Okay, so this one has the simple page that I'm bringing up. That is asking me to enter a department number and submit it and then use the department number over here. Okay, so I'm going to enter a 3 and submit it and I get boys. Okay, now what happens if I enter a 5? Come on, you can do it. So I'm going to enter a 5 and submit, and it gives me the error. Okay, I got an error on that. Undefined offset, which means that 5 is out of the range of the array. Okay. So in the others, I've been controlling what the number was. Here, I'm letting the user control it. So clearly, I should have an if statement in here. Okay. So clearly, once I get the number, before I do this echo, I should have an if statement that checks to make sure that it's a valid number. Because whenever my user enters anything in, I need to check up on them. Okay? So I need to make sure that they are entering a valid number and then have an appropriate thing where I say invalid department number. If they didn't enter one, as opposed to having the error. Okay? So, again, what I need to do in here is have an if that checks for a valid index, subscript. Whatever you want to call it. But I've got to check for a valid index whenever I am putting the user, letting the user have input. Okay? If there's anything you should come out of these classes knowing is you never trust a user. Okay. This is another one that we have looked at in the past, actually. It's a bunch of debug tools. And actually, I want... Let me try to find that. Okay, I want to do this one first. And then we'll look at that one. So this one is MWGB without. And I want to do this one first so that it's clear what the error is. Okay. Notice this one worked just fine without putting any numbers in there. Okay, this is another okay, but it works fine. I didn't put the numbers in there, and it was still able to access it. And this time I didn't use a for each. I wrote my own for loop where I went from 0 to 3, and I also accessed it down there. But it works without having the numbers in it. Okay. Which is not intuitive that that would happen. If you come from other languages, that's not intuitive. Does that happen in C? Anybody that's taken C?
Well, Can you say that again?
The array without any numbers in it. Can you do that in C?
No, it has to have 0, 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Well, as I said, C is the parent for a lot of languages. And so, and I don't, it was years ago that I knew C. So I don't know C anymore. And so I wasn't sure that that wasn't in something that inherited. Okay. I haven't seen it before, but before PHP, but I just wanted to check. So there it is. And if I go back now, come on, and look at the one with the tools in it, so debug tools. That has the same thing in it, but why I wanted to go to the other one first is to show you that that wasn't the error. Okay, I happened to do it with the zero, without the 0, 1, 2, 3, but that was not the error. It was not an error. This really is not an error either. It is just printing stuff out so that I get, I don't actually have an error here. I'm just printing stuff out so that I can see what the array is set up to do. And there's two ways of doing that. Print R, the name of the array, or variable dump, the name of the array. And it shows you the array in those ways. Print R prints human readable information about a variable, and variable dump dumps information about. So I am picking the variable being an array name, and I'm saying, give me the information, and it shows it to me in a slightly different way, but it's showing it to me, okay? The printr shows it, and the zeroth element, it says, is women's. The first element, it says, is men's. The next one is girls, the next one is boys, and when you do the dump, you see it a little bit differently. It says, in the zeroth element, there's a string of six, which is women's. And it goes through and shows it to you that way. But if you want to see the contents of an array or something, and you want to see how it's set up, these two techniques, the print underscore R and the var underscore dump, are two ways to see the contents of a variable. And I did those with something else last week. I don't remember which. Okay, so those are just some debugging tools. It's not that there was an error here, it's that they're debugging tools. Okay. The next one is, I want to look at, is the two-dimensional. Okay, so this is a two-dimensional array. And this is called fairs to dim. Okay. So I've set up an array within an array. Okay. So I have got these three things and then collections inside them of the fairs that I have. And at this point I said, show me the one that is 2, 1. And what does that get me?
That was in 12?
No, 2, 1 in this case got me the 9, 1, 5, 8, 9. Okay. That's what it got me. Now, why is that 2, 1? Okay. If I go down here, 0, 1, 2, and go across here, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, then you can see how 2, 1 came out. Okay? So 2, 1 came out as, go down 2 and go over to the 1, and that's how 2, 1 came out. Okay? If I had 1, 3, what am I going to see?
625.
25.
Let's find out. So if I change this to 1 and to 3. $525. Okay. So on that one, I went down 0.1 over 0.123. And this is the one I'm getting. Okay. And I'm going to put the 2.1 back, so that I match with what other people have the next time I open that. Okay, so that's a two-dimensional array. And notice how they do it. The array is all set up within parentheses. So that open parenthesis right after the word array goes with the closed parenthesis down right before the semicolon. Okay, so that's the whole array. And then for every row, I set up an array. And I put the elements for that row. Okay, so I've got another array. And notice each of those rows is enclosed in parentheses. And there's a comma until I get to the last one. Okay, to indicate that there's another one coming. So each of the rows is shown like with the word array, and then you've got columns in beside that. Okay, so the array itself is actually, instead of drawing it out, it really looks like that. Okay, if I were to write a graph of it, the 00 is 85100. 851 is 00, and then 01 is the next one over, which is 94950, and it just really sets up a two-dimensional chart of rows and columns. Okay? So that's how you can set up a two-dimensional array. And all I did here is indicate that I could have had the variables set up at the top and from city and to city. And obviously I can have the user entering in the numbers and sending them over here. So I've got the from city to city. And this one is phase 2, dim 1 or something like that. Okay, so 1.1 is 1,012.75. Okay. So this is 0.1, downside is 0.1, so 1.1 is that number. Okay. And I can come in with from city, and I can come in with to city. Okay, this one has the get in it, so that tells me that in fact I am sending it in from someplace else, and again, what I need on this is if statements to make sure that they send me a valid from city and a valid to city. Okay, so what I should do is have if statements to check the validity of the code. Okay. Questions, folks? Guys, hello? Questions?
He was asking a question about his phone, right?
Oh, okay. I'm supposed to be so fascinating. that you don't ask questions about the homework, because what I'm saying is so interesting that you can't tear yourself away. Okay, so fair send is the one where I am sending over the information. And I then go to phase 2, dim 2, and send it over. So I set up the select option. Okay? So if you look at this, in all honesty, would you please wait? I thought I was saying it tactfully. Because I can hear you. Okay, so I set up these choices. So the from city choice is a value of 0 if you pick Boston, 1 if you pick Providence, 2 if you pick New York. And the to city has Istanbul, Baku, Frankfurt, London, and Prague. Okay. I guess I can kind of get it like that so you can see. Okay, so I'm setting up and going to one of those places from one of those places. So if I click that I'm going from New York and I'm going to Baku and say send, it comes back with the fare of 91589. Okay, now this one I'm only letting them put in the choices of picking, so I'm safer with the user doing the checking, because I've only let the user do valid things here. Okay, so I come back with the 915. They send that over, and that's not the one. I've got too many things opened. Okay, so the from and the to city come over, and then I go into the array and pick out the things that I pick. Okay. So New York and Baku were 915.89. And that makes sense because New York was the last choice here, and it was Baku was the second choice going across. So it got me 915. Where's Baku?
I just looked that up while you were. it's by the Caspian Sea. It's in between like.
What country?
Well, it's kind of in between Russia and Iran.
It says it's capital of.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a rough. I know.
My daughter spent about 6 months in Azerbaijan when she was working on her doctorate. So she came home and said, "I'm going to Baku," and I said, "You're going where?" And I then learned where. Huh?
That sounded made up. That's what I said to her. Where's that? Mostly next to, what other country?
Turkey. It's kind of between Turkey and. What did you say? What countries
Iran.
Were
it's like north of Iran and south of south west of Russia.
Okay. She used to fly into Turkey and then fly because she was did a lot of her research in Turkey, which I'm glad she did then and not now. Okay, now this one I just set up arrays so that I can also get the city. So I have a from name array that has where I'm flying from. I have a to name array that shows where I'm flying to. And I have the city array, the fare array, which shows what fares I'm doing. Okay? So if I go in and this one is using Thea's version 3, I believe. Okay, so I'm going to look at that. Thea's Thayer, send version 3. And notice, because I'm using the get, when I send things over, it shows up. So those are the ones that I'm sending, and this time I'll go from Boston to London. And so when I bring that up, it says my output that I printed was, you are flying from Boston, you are flying to London, and the fare is $4.99. Okay, so that is going in and showing the information from the two single dimension rays that tell where I'm flying from and where I'm flying to, and the multi-dimension array, which shows where I'm flying, what the fare is that I'm flying for. Okay. And I think, I don't think I ever looked at original, but I don't know that it has anything. Okay, that's the other way to set up a two-dimensional array. Okay, yeah, right. That's the other way to set it up. So I'm telling it 00 is 851, 01 is 949, and I'm telling it, oh, I'm going in cell by cell, as opposed to the other way that I did it. So if I look at the other way, these are two ways to set up the same thing. Okay, so that's just two ways to set up the same thing, and you can choose which one you like. Okay, the last one over there is 512, the last one here is 512. It's just two ways of setting up the same thing. A lot more writing. But some people like it because it is obvious what's what, as opposed to having to count and everything. It's obvious what's what. Right. So you can go either way in setting up the array. Okay, we're done. And next time, as I said, I want to go back and look at updates, so do a little bit of thinking about how you want to do it, because I'm, needless to say, going to ask you to write an update program. Okay. Okay, now you can go back to your conversations, because my turn is over.